amen and amen. Welcome to Key Point Church. What's up, everybody? What is up? We are so glad you are here. We are finally back. Amen. We're back. I want to welcome those who are watching today online on our virtual service. Welcome. We're glad you're here. So glad you're here with us. Psalms 122 came to my heart this morning, and it is one of my favorite scriptures about the church. It says, I was so glad when PC said reopen KPC. Amen. Now, that's my version, all right? That's my version, and we'll just leave it at that, all right? But I want to ask him to turn the house lights off, because what I want to do is get a panoramic picture. Turn the house lights on. I don't like them low like this. There we go. I want to get a panoramic picture of our first meeting in 16 weeks, all right? Now, I have to say, I am running the risk of one of you yahoos calling me in the middle of my message, all right? So if you have my number, do not call me while I'm preaching, all right? God, you can call me, but nobody in here. All right, here we go, over here. So you got to smile. You got to look really good. Y'all ready? All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. There we go. Yes. Hey, Matthew, how are you? It's good to see you, friend. All right, now, we got to do something else, all right? Today is our Springdale pastor's birthday, Pastor John Michael Martin, and I want us to take a selfie so that we can let him know how much we love him, all right? Actually, we're going to do a video, all right? I better turn it around. There we go. Everybody say what's up. What's up, Pastor John Michael? On the count of three, say happy birthday. One, two, three. We love you, John Michael. All right. Turn with me to Chronicles chapter 7 and Ephesians chapter 5. I am excited, all right? I get to speak to a house filled with people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and Ephesians chapter 6. You can open up your Key Point Church app. Just as Pastor Zach alluded to, everything filters through our app. You can tithe, you can request prayer, you can request an appointment with our pastoral staff, our leadership team, any information that's happening in our church, you can register for next week on our Key Point Church app. And the title of my message today is A Nation Healed. A Nation Healed. And there's no doubt about it that our nation is sick. But with the help of God, we can be made whole. Amen. I need to hear amen. I need you to talk back with me. Remember, I like engagement. You're not at home sitting by yourself or your family watching this. You are with me live, all right, as well as those that are maybe sitting in their home right now watching live. Respond with me, all right? Respond with me. Respond. I love it. I love it. I love you working with me. I remember several years ago, I was sick. I was so sick. And I like to milk it for all it's worth, all right? My wife would probably say that. When I'm sick, the whole house shuts down. Everybody is at the foot of my bed serving Pastor's needs, all right? Serving Casey's needs, all right? And I was sick, and I was like, I've got to go to the doctor. I need something more than cough drops and Tylenol. And I don't get sick that often, but when I do, it is like I've got to go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor. I'm like, Doc, this hurts, and this hurts, and this hurts, and that hurts. I mean, I'm pointing everywhere, you know. And I said, I need something, help, you know. I'm sick. So he does all these tests, and then he gives me a shot, and then he gives me a prescription. And then he looks at me, he goes, and guess what, Casey? You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And Stacy brought me to the car, you know, and she goes, you're going to be okay, all right? You're going to be okay, and you better get well really fast, all right? And we're going to be okay, amen? I want you to take a deep breath right now, because this nation under God is going to be okay, amen? You are going to be okay. Come on, say it to yourself. I am going to be okay. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are going to be okay. You are going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Father, I thank you that we get to hear your word, and your word's going to change us today. Lord, let us never leave the narrative of your scripture. It's always the gospel. It's Jesus Christ. It's heaven and earth. It's heaven and hell. It's you, Jesus. Lord, today let your word be planted in my heart and grow a harvest 30, 60, and 100 fold so that I can be more and more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Here is the answer to nations that are sick. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Boy, there's a lot of people right now that just need a little humbling, right? The Bible says it's better for you to humble yourself and fall on the rock than the rock to fall on you and humble you, all right? So as Christians, we're going to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, amen? You'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's repenting. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. God always touches your heart first. And then here we go. Here it is. Here is the answer to the nations that are sick. And I will heal their land. Amen. I'll heal their land. Now the Apostle Paul adds to this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says this, and pray in the Spirit. Now, when you read something like that, and it's probably maybe something that's a little bit different than what you do, do you ask, what does that mean? I hope so. Anytime you read something in Scripture that you don't understand, you need to say, Holy Spirit, what did you mean right here? Because if there ever is a topic when it comes to the Bible that's misrepresented and misunderstood, it's what the Apostle Paul is referring to right here, praying in the Spirit. All right, now let me press pause. We'll get to Ephesians in a moment because it would be remiss of me if I didn't teach you this, all right? Because we can't go, oh, I like that part of the Scripture and I like that part of the Scripture and leave out the things we don't like or we don't understand with, all right? We have to put our heart around all of it and we have to make sure we do this, all right? Here's what the Apostle Paul is teaching. Pray in the Spirit, all right? The word Spirit right there, you can find it in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament over 800 times. This is not opinion or what that church says or what this body says, all right? This is what the Word of God says. All right, everybody say the Word of God. All right, over 800 times. The Old Testament Hebrew word for spirit is the word ruach. It's like you have some a mint on your mouth. And you find it all throughout the Old Testament, and it refers to a wind or breath or a blast of breath. And it's also referring to the third person of the Trinity. You have our Heavenly Father, you have Jesus Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And it also refers to the spiritual and the power side of God. Anytime you read about the Spirit of God moving in the Old Testament, something was created out of nothing. There wasn't anything, and all of a sudden the breath of God spoke, and boom, there it was. We're talking about the power side of God now. Now let's move New Testament, all right? The New Testament Greek word for spirit, which is this word right here, and pray in the Spirit, it's the word pneuma. Pneuma also means a wind or a breath or a blast of breath, and it's also referring to the third person of the Trinity. And the reason why I say person is because the Holy Spirit is a person, which means this person has a role in your life. And if there ever is a time where we as the body of Christ need the role of the Holy Spirit, it is now, amen? It is now. We need what the Holy Spirit can provide. It also referring to the spiritual nature of God and the power nature of God. In fact, Jesus even said this in John chapter 16. Check it out later on today. John 16 verse 7. He refers to the Spirit of God that I'm talking about. He says, if I stay here, I won't be able to go to my Father, and I will not be able to send back to you the advocate, a counselor, a comforter. So I must go. They were trying to stop Jesus from being crucified. He said, no, I've got to go to my Father because I'm going to send somebody back to you. And you're going to want him in your life. You're going to want the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. So think of it this way. What Jesus was to the disciples, living with them every day and comforting them and praying for them and counseling them, is what the Holy Spirit inside of me and you is today. Amen? And he has a role. Whew, man, I would love to go through this, but I don't have time. That's why we have life groups. I would encourage you. We have several life groups that teach on your heavenly language, how to pray in the Spirit. And I would encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit what this means. Ask the Lord, what do you mean by this? Because I don't want to leave anything out. If I can have more power, I want more power. Amen. Come on, I need to hear a better amen right there. And if you need pastoral leadership in this, we would love to help you navigate through this. Reach out to us. Get in the life groups that are promoting and teaching this, all right? Very, very important. All right, now back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And he says a mouthful, of course. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel. And me and my wife and our pastoral staff, we covet your prayers right here, all right? We would love for you every day to be on your face praying for the pastoral leadership of Key Point Church, that we hear the Lord and we get direction so we can fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So according to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, there's prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, 18 through 20, and there's many, many more. It's prayer. The antidote or the cure to American sickness is what?
Prayer.
Come on, say it out loud.
Prayer.
It all starts with prayer. It sounds so novel, right? But it all starts with prayer. And someone will say, and they have been saying, well, Pastor, we need to do more than just prayer. And to that, I would give you a high five and knuckles and elbows, all right? Because faith without works, James 2, 26 says, faith without works is dead. Yes, we've got to do things. We've got to, but we cannot minimize and underestimate the power of prayer, because when we pray, we are asking God to bring a supernatural answer to a natural problem. And what we are seeing today in our country, what plagues America when it comes to racism and the hate that you see spewing out of people's mouths because they look different than me, I'm a hate on them. And what we see in our political climate, the chaos and just hate against the police and hate against the government and hate and division and disunity. Let me tell you what that is. That is a natural problem that only can be cured with a spiritual solution, amen? That's why we have to pray. Don't you underestimate the power of your prayer life, the power of your heavenly prayer language, all right? It is powerful. In fact, it is the most powerful tool in your toolbox when it comes to a Christian, being a Christ follower. The most powerful. And the will of God is not brought to pass by all the natural things we can do, even though they're important. Please hear my heart. It's very important that we still feed the sick and we stand up for justice and we promote peace and we build bridges. That's very, very important. But write this down. The will of God comes through our partnership with Him in prayer. It's the prayer of the saints that will see the will of God transpire and happen on this earth. Not the New Orleans saints, all right? But saints who understand their authority and their power in the name of Jesus and what they can do on this earth. That's where the will of God happens. And this kind of prayer, I believe it's a mandate for all Christians. And let me say why I said this kind of prayer. Because this is not the kind of prayer you pray over your sandwich at lunch. This is overcoming prayers. This is prayers that move mountains. This is praying for people that are deceived and have disowned God, and you want them to come back to God. This is praying for healing. This is praying for people to forgive and allow the Lord to forgive them. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about, and I believe we have fallen complacent in some ways when it comes to prayer. The body of Christ has kind of fallen asleep, if you will, at the wheel, maybe getting passive. Some think, well, since God is all-knowing, which He is, and He knows what I need, then why do I need to ask? If God's all-knowing and He knows my needs right now, then why do I need to pray? It's a great question. I hear this also, well, if God is all, if He is a sovereign God, He's just going to do what He wants to do, right? So why should I pray and try to exercise my will. Well, I mean, he's going to do what he wants to do. So why pray? Why pray? And if we think like that and we get passive and we get complacent, we will misinterpret the will of God. We'll not see things in our life, in our family, in our nation come to pass. We will not. And what is God's will? Let me explain it to you this way. Whenever you see the word will, you can put in there desire, okay? So the will of God is the desire of God. For example, I desire to see racial reconciliation. I desire to see a cure of COVID this week, amen? God, give those scientists wisdom this week to find a drug, a cure, so we can get this behind us, amen? I desire that. I want that. I want to see that happen. I desire that when people come to church and when they experience church online and they get in a life group, I want to see people physically healed. That's one of my desires as a pastor. He is a God who brings healing physically to us. I want to see people emotionally healed. That is my desire. I desire that. So what is God's desire for our nation? What is God's desire for every nation? Well, according to Jeremiah 29, verse 11, these desires are about prosperity in our heart, in our mind. It talks about peace. Need a little bit of peace today? It talks about hope. That's God's desire. That's his will for you. It talks about having a future that is more successful than unsuccessful. Amen? That's God's desire for you. But God's first desire is for people to repent and give their heart to him, to call on him to be their Lord. And I'm going to tell you why. Because heaven and hell are real. Hell is real. It is one of the first ways we can start doubting the deity of God. We start doubting hell. And the enemy lies and tricks and, oh, there's no such thing as hell. When you die, you'll go over here and you go over there and oh, you'll be okay. Just live your life the way you want to. And that's not the case. God's desire is for all people to get saved. Let me read you the scripture. This is telling you and I God's first desire. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Or rather, his desire as to why he sent his son Jesus. Says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but in longsuffering towards us. Here it is, not willing. There it is. That's telling you and I, this is his desire. His desire, his will, is for any should perish. He doesn't want anyone to die without making him their Lord and Savior, because the word perish means to live separated from God for eternity. And nobody wants that, right? And not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when you begin to understand the definition of the word will, then you can understand this scripture. It is not God's will or desire that anyone perishes, all right? That's not what God wants. So here's the question. Are all people going to repent? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Why is that? Because God exercised his will when he created you and I in his own image. And when he created you and I, please follow me, he gave you and I the ability to choose what we desired. The most powerful thing that you have inside of you right now is your ability to choose. God's will is for all people. He exercised his will. We have this will to choose. So the reason why some perish before they repent, again, it's not God's will, is that they chose not to repent. They chose not to say, God, you are my Lord and Savior, because I want to do it my way. My way is right. And before I move on from this, I believe there's some people in this room, people who are listening to me right now, and you have loved ones, you have friends, you have children who have fallen away from God. They're not serving God, maybe even never even given their heart to God, and possibly even doubting the deity of God. Don't you stop praying. Don't you stop praying. You bring this prayer to God every day. Lord, you want none to perish. And you take out none and you put that child's name in there, or you put that spouse's name in there, or you put that friend's name in there. Lord, you want her. You want him to not perish and live eternally without you. And you bring that promise to God every day. And you watch it come to pass. Amen. Come on, I need a better amen right there, right? Don't you dare underestimate the power of praying for people. God will draw their heart. He just wants our prayers. So here's what I'm saying. Write this down. The good things that happen in your life are because your will moves God's will from heaven to earth. I'm going to say it again. This is very important that you get this, all right? The good things that will happen in your life are because your will moves God's will from heaven to this earth. You have more power over your future than you could ever imagine. And I'm going to prove it to you. Matthew chapter 6. The disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? Jesus says, well, friends, I'm so glad you asked. Pull up a chair, get you some notes out, because I'm about to teach you, all right? And Jesus, again, just begins to be the teacher that he is, and he begins to come out with this amazing knowledge. Matthew chapter 6, read it for yourself later on. He starts talking about praying. This is how you pray. You don't babble and this and this. This is how you pray. And when you pray. And when you pray. As if to say, oh, by the way, we need to be praying. Right? It's not an option, all right? It's a fundamental principle of being a Christ follower. When you pray. And then he gets to around verse 9 and verse 10. And he gives us the Lord's Prayer, which we're very familiar with if we've grown up in church. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And it gets very powerful right here to the point of this message. And in verse 10, I want to pick up right here. And he says, your kingdom come. Verse 10, here it is. Your will be done. What is will? His desire. And you can find any promise in the Bible, any desire that God has for us, and you can fill it in the blank right there. Your will be done on earth as it is where? Where? In heaven. And what is in heaven? Perfect peace, unity, fullness of joy, healing, prosperity in our soul. And what Jesus is teaching the disciples, he's teaching to you and me today, you have the ability to exercise your will and call heaven to this earth. And we have got to start exercising in that principle every day. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is exercising our will to move his will, his desire to this earth in my family, in my children, with my company, with my neighborhood, with my city, with my nation. The breakthrough you want to see in your life and for our nation is not going to happen if you don't pray. We can't leave it up to them or, well, they'll just do it. No, we have got to stand up. Unity is not going to happen in our nation if we don't pray. Peace is not going to happen in this nation if we don't pray. Healing is not going to happen in our nation if we don't pray. Freedom and justice for all will not happen in this nation if we, as Christ followers, do not take God at his word and call heaven to this earth. It's not going to happen. And we are seeing that rot every day. That last one right there. And fall to the side. We cannot be passive. We cannot be silent. We have got to rise up. Yes, Jesus came and destroyed the works of the enemy. Come on, somebody say amen right there, all right? But God needs my faith. God needs my voice. He needs me to exercise the will that he gave me and rise up. And again, as I close, this is not a black versus white thing. It's not we versus them. This is God against sin. It is. It's all about sin. At the end of the day, that's what the fight is all about. It's the body of Christ standing up as one and fighting against the real enemy of the Antichrist and division and rebellion. Amen? Woo! You hear that? That's the clarion call I believe we're hearing right now. It's a wake-up call for us Christians who call him our Lord, who have multiple Bibles and apps to read, and Bible studies to get involved in, and outreaches to serve and be a part of. I believe it's a wake-up call to the body of Christ here in America to step up spiritually and stop cowering back and stop being passive. And let's get back to the one of the most important things of being a Christ follower, and that is powerful prayers that avail much. Amen. On our face daily, cried out to God, repenting of our sin, humbling ourselves. Because if we don't do that, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Your sin nature will get the best of you. And eventually you'll stop coming to church. Eventually you'll stop calling your Christian friends. You'll stop calling your Christian family members. And sin will take over in your life. That nature will come and dominate you. And eventually you'll be slipping down that slippery slope of atheism. Saying, you know what? I'm my own God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in heaven and hell. And you have just bit into the lie of the enemy. We got to get on our face every day and repent, humble ourselves, cry out to God, save my family, save my nation, save our country. Help us see your presence today, God. I believe God is setting us up to see his divine nature be poured out in this nation, in this world more than ever before. I'm telling you, I believe we're about to see it. We are on the edge about to see one of the greatest revivals known to man. I promise you. Here's how I can prophetically speak that. Because we have seen more in the last 4 months historically than I think generations have seen over their lifetime. I mean, just last week, more things happened historically in 1 week than almost 100 years. And it's not the devil who's doing all this stuff and then God comes behind him to try to figure it out. That's not how it works. God is the only creator. He creates, and the enemy, what does he do? He counterfeits. And he's always trying to come behind what God is doing and undermining it. But as for me in this house, he is not going to undermine me. Amen. I'm going to stand on the word of God and I'm going to believe what the Bible says I can have. And if I don't have it or understand it, I'm going to ask. And he who asks is going to get. Whew. Man, I believe the Holy Spirit is opening some of you up this morning. I really believe it. I believe it. I believe the Spirit of God is going to be poured out on Key Point Church here in Bentonville and Rogers and Springdale and Fayetteville. And we're going to see a revival of souls in Jesus' name. Amen. People are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see the gifts of God operate in this church. And I believe it's going to happen in your life. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. Right there, you may be watching. I want you to lift up your hands. This is a prayer for all. Right there where you're standing. You know, we can't lay hands on you today. You know, the Bible does say that the elders of the church can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Well, I believe healing can be transferred through my hands to yours, all right? If you need to receive something today from the Lord, if you need heaven to come and invade a dark area of your life, raise up your hands right now, all right? Come on, if you're watching by video, you may be watching. I want you to lift up your hands and right now say, Jesus Christ, I ask you, I give you permission, I choose, it's my desire for heaven to invade my heart. Have your way, because your way is much better than mine. I humble myself, I repent of my sin, and I cry out to you, heal my land. Come on, say, heal my nation, heal my city, heal my family, and heal my heart, in Jesus' name. Now, stay standing. I want to pray for those who need to repent. See, repent is a beautiful word. I know people make it sound negative and terrible, but no, repentance is simply me turning from the way I used to live and running towards God, choosing to make him the Lord of my life. And right now, you may be watching, or maybe even in this room, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to pray this prayer out loud. Everybody with me, say, Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins. I have a sin problem. And Jesus, you are the cure. I receive you today as the cure. Thank you for forgiving me. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now listen to me, if you just prayed that prayer, You just prayed a prayer of repentance, and you just gave your heart to Jesus Christ. You chose to make him the Lord of your life, which means that if you, which I pray it doesn't happen, die, I pray it's in 20 to 30 to 100 more years. Amen. Then you will live eternally with God. But you have to continue every day choosing. Your will is the most powerful thing that God has given you. And we're going to choose, amen. I'm going to walk in the gifts that God has given me. And I encourage you and I challenge you to walk in the gifts that God has given you. And listen to me. Everybody in this room, listen to your pastor. You have a gift. God didn't skip over you the day he was giving out gifts. You just have to figure out what your gift is. We have a class for that. It's called Growth Track. It happens virtually right now. And you can go and we'll help you discover your gifts so that you can make a difference, so that we can see the glory of God operating in your life. You got a gift. God wants to use you. Amen. We love you. We love you. Have a fantastic week. Do not forget to register at KeyPoint.Church, or download the app and register. Amen. Never forget that Jesus is the key. We'll see you next Sunday.